ACL. This is Radio Ghana.
Good evening and welcome to Behind the News, our news and current affairs program which examines issues from the perspectives of newsmakers and experts. My name is Agatha Samoa, and tonight, what is causing the delay in migrating members of PUTAC onto the single spine? Is the delay enough justification for PUTAC to go on strike? Upper East Region hit by CSM outbreak, how are the health authorities dealing with it? And what is the PNC's agenda for the 2012 election? What is the party's flag bearer Hassan Ayarga bringing on board to brighten the party's chances? Now our text line is 0264-418767. 0264-418767. Send us your comments on any of the topics. The Progressive People's Party, PPP, says its program on Saturday is not meant to elect a flag bearer or substantive executives. Party sources say since the program is not for election purposes, any invitation to the Electoral Commission is to observe the event. A GNA report, however, alleges that the EC cannot supervise the National Congress of the PPP since it is not a fully registered party. What actually is a Saturday program about? We have on the line Dr. Park Kwesi Indum, the founder of PPP, to explain issues to us. Doc, what is the event about?
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity to clear the air and clarify what the National Convention is all about. I must say to you that we, the Progressive People's Party, is a law-abiding political organization. And so we have done everything according to the letter and spirit of the law. I personally have gone to have a formal meeting with Dr. Farajan to inform him about our program and our intentions. And so very clearly, the Saturday program, which we are very, very much ready for, is number one, to educate our people, to inform our people, to let the Ghanaian people know what preparations we have made to elect our flag bearer and to elect parliamentary candidates and to govern the affairs of our party. So it is an information session. It's a get-together, and to let our people and Ghanaians know what is it that we're about and to seek membership all over and let people know the brilliance that we are bringing, the enthusiasm we are bringing, and the people that we are putting to the table. And so let me just also say to you that we don't take this DNA story lightly. We will send a formal protest tomorrow because we believe that it's a deliberate act committed by somebody at DNA intended to destroy and disrupt our program.
You said you formally invited the EC, so what has been the response?
Well, we have invited the EC and other people as our guests to come and be witnesses to our program. We are following up today and tomorrow with all that we have invited, everybody that we've invited to the program. And definitely, even tomorrow, we will be contacting the EC to talk to them about our innovative program to go around the country and let every constituency, every region vote to elect a flag bearer, and all card-carrying members of our party will be eligible to vote in any of those contexts. And so our plans are clear. This is a coming out event for our political party. It is our event to bring our people together for the first time. It is to let everybody know the constitution that we've given to the EC. What does this say? The plans that we're making for selection of our candidates. What are those plans? What is the calendar? We want people to know who are the people who are leading this party at this time, and so on and so forth. So it's a convention. It's a gathering. It will be a wonderful event. Our people are coming to Accra on Saturday, February 25th.
You said other parties are invited to the program. Is the CPP also among the invitees?
Absolutely. The CPP is a legitimate political party in Ghana. We have invited them, as we've invited everybody that we know of that is a legitimate political party in Ghana, so they can share with us a few thoughts. And for all of us to know that we are all part of the democratic process of Ghana.
Then briefly before I let you go, if you say this is not a Congress to elect flag bearer and executive, then when are you having your Congress?
Well, that's what I was explaining very briefly, that we are doing something that is innovative. We are not going to congregate at one place. We are also not going to hold our election of flag bearer the same day in all constituencies. We are going to do this different days for every region, every constituency, and then we are not having a small election. It is open to everybody who has paid up to be a member of our party will be eligible to come and vote and express themselves.
When is the Congress likely to come on?
Well, we are looking to get this, you know that once we got the provisional certificate, 30 days had to elapse, and 30 days will elapse at the end of the first week in March. So after that, these processes, going around the country program will begin, but with the consultation, upon consultation with the Electoral Commission. Because as I said earlier, we are law-abiding and we are determined to work hand-in-hand with the Electoral Commission.
All right. Thanks for joining us. That was Dr. Pa Kwesi Indum, founder of the PPP. And efforts to reach the Electoral Commission for their comment were not successful. Behind the News, we'll explore it more tomorrow. There are reports of an outbreak of cerebrospinal meningitis in the Upper West region. There has been perennial recurrence of CSM in the region. How are the health authorities dealing with the situation? Dr. Kokuawuno Williams is the Upper East Regional Director of the Health Service. Many thanks for joining us. Doc, can you confirm the number of people who have died so far of CSM?
Yes, thank you and good evening to you and to your listeners. We have reported from the 1st of January 2012 to today 16 deaths. These 16 deaths come out of 102 cases that we have reported in the Upper East region so far.
Which communities or districts in the region are affected?
As you probably will have been aware, we have 9 districts in Upper East region made up of 1.1 million population average. We have affected 3 of our 9 districts, that is Bulsa District, Katsina Nakana District, and Katsina Nakana West District. Let me further explain that CSM is quite seasonal. 3 years we get cases of CSM or meningitis in Upper East region, because this region falls in what we call the meningitis belt. And every year we try to put in measures to avert any outbreak. We monitor cases that come to the region, that occur in the region, and therefore have what we call a threshold. And when the cases are going beyond the normal expected within the society, the community, we have alert thresholds and then we declare epidemic. Now, in Bulsa District, for instance, as of today, from 1st of January, we have reported 37 cases, and out of that, we had 5 deaths. In the Katsina Nakana district, we have recorded up to date 35 cases with 5 deaths. And in the Katsina Nakana West district, we have reported 24 cases from the 1st of January 2012 to today. And out of the 24, we have recorded 4 deaths. Let me also say that we have cases in other districts. For instance, Bongo District recorded 1 case, and that case died. We also have Garo Timpani that reported 2 cases, 1 died. We have Talasi Namdam that nobody died, and that is the situation that we have on our hands. But I want to assure the public, I want to assure the people of Upper East Region that we are working very, very hard so that we avert any loss of life. We are doing a lot of health education, health promotion, We have teams on the ground. We have logistics. The bigger problem we have is the communities taking the advice of our health workers and our health providers. And what we are saying is that people who have signs and symptoms of TSM, which everybody now in Upper East know what it is, they should report early in our health facilities. We have difficulties of people having symptoms and they delay in the home, they go to prayer camps, they go to soothsayers, they go to traditional healers. And when everything is all gone bad, then they resort to the hospitals as the last resort.
Can you educate us on the signs and symptoms of the disease?
The signs and symptoms of CSM, basically what we have people who report with fever, with headache. Sometimes they come with stiffness of the neck. Sometimes they have spasm, what we call the spasm. And sometimes they vomit. General malaise and what we call general fever. And so what we are saying is that once these signs and symptoms come, people might think that it's malaria or it's normal. They should just report at the health facilities.
It seems this keeps recurring every year. Is there any way to avoid the disease totally?
It is difficult to avoid the disease totally because, like I said earlier, Upper East region, like part of the Sahel region, is in what we call the seasonal meningitis belt. So you have these cases occurring. It is not per se the cases, but it's how we respond to the cases and how we make sure people even who have signs. The fact of the case is that people definitely have meningitis, but it can be cured, it can be prevented. We know what can prevent it, and we know that early reporting saves lives, and that is our focus now.
Are there enough vaccines to contain the situation?
We have received enough vaccines, both from the national level. Right now, we have teams that are in the region. We have teams in the district. We are vaccinating communities where we have reached our threshold, where we have alert signals that this community, there are more cases that we vaccinate. The difficult thing is that sometimes when cases occur, we have to do also investigation to target the particular organism that is involved. And that is why we are saying that yes, people will get meningitis, people will get CSM, but please report early so that we can do early investigation and early treatment.
All right, many thanks for joining us. That was Dr. Koku Awuno-Williams, who is the Upper East Regional Director of Health. This is Behind the News. Now to some of your text messages. Ghana should renew the mandate of the NDC to ensure a massive infrastructure development in rural areas. From Teacher Collins Seshibopa. Please ask the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission when public sector workers will get increments in salary for 2012 in view of the increase in the delay in the daily minimum wage, Rufai and Sawam. Now to our next story. For a long time, they have remained silent over the migration onto the single spine salary structure. This time, they want to flex their muscles. This is what the lecturers in the country's polytechnics seem to tell the government as they threaten to go on strike next Tuesday if the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission fails to implement the agreement it reached with them on the SSS 2 years ago. The Polytechnic Teachers Association of Ghana, PUTAG, says it can no longer keep mute while their counterparts in the universities with the same qualification enjoy better working conditions under the single spine. There are reports that already lecturers at the Takwadi Polytechnic are on strike. Anthony Ayakwai is the national president of PUTAG. Good evening and many thanks for joining us. Can you confirm that lecturers at Takwadi Polytechnic are on strike?
Yeah, I've been informed that they are on strike.
So how come PUTAG Takwadi Polytechnic decided to start years early?
Thank you very much. I have now been notified that that's the case. I'm trying to explain to the executive committee tomorrow as to how come that situation is. I was on the phone with the chairman in Takwadi for him to explain to me why the situation and he's trying to get his notes together so that I can and get his issues right before tomorrow's meeting.
But what exactly are your grievances?
Right, the grievances are basically straightforward. It's as far back as 2010, as you clearly indicated, that we have we've kept mute on the issue and then kept gone along with the whole process. We have worked with the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission, the Minister of Finance, and the other public service organizations so that we can make sure that the policy, single swan policy, is successfully implemented. Now, in the latter days, illicitly, we are one of the few institutions that are waiting for the final migration. However, it looks to see that in our quest to request for better remuneration, it has been told that the resource, government resource, has been stretched so much that they cannot stretch anymore. Last Tuesday, we met the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission and Minister of Finance and then rectors of the Polytechnic. In our discussion, it became apparent that government had a quota in terms of the amount of money is willing to depart. In view of that, members said that's not fair, considering the fact that we have waited all this while for a mediation agreement that we have come to be implemented. In view of this, we decided on Tuesday to write to the National Labour Commission to intervene. Since the initiated a mediation agreement, and we are still waiting for their responses. Now, while waiting for their responses, that is when I was informed that TAQA has proceeded on a strike action.
Would you say the commission has reneged on its promise to migrate members of PUTAC onto the single spine?
The commission has not. The commission has worked with us trying to migrate us onto the single spine. The issue is on the market premium, which increasingly becoming a problem. The government is not willing to agree on the mediation agreement that we had established with the Labour Commission sole mediator, Jerome Akafia. And that's where the issue is.
Now hold the line and let's go over to George Smith Graham, who is the Chief Executive Officer of the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission. Mr. Graham, what is your reaction to what Mr. Ayakwa is saying?
Well, thank you very much and a good evening to all your listeners. I believe, as Mr. Ayakwa just mentioned, we've been working together for a very long time. We've only gotten to a stage where there appear to be some disagreement as to certain levels that has to be given to the PUTAG. And there are figures that I cannot put on air because I don't discuss salaries of people.
Exactly.
But that is where we've gotten to now. We've gotten to a stage where, to the best of our abilities and to the best of the government, so we feel that we've done a lot for the Polytechnic when it comes to the migration of the single span. But apparently, they are not very happy with it because they are looking for a certain parity with other institutions. And it's something that we are discussing. And I believe that we should be able to find a solution. But I believe that is not something that I was surprised when I heard about a strike anyway. And I don't know exactly what the issues are. So as he's speaking now, I'm also finding it difficult to know exactly what the issues are, so that I can react to the issues appropriately while they are on strike.
But they are saying they have been patient enough and they can no longer wait. So what are you doing about it?
The patience was an agreement between the two of us that
exactly.
They have to wait. And they understand why they had to wait up to this time. There are certain mutual understanding between Fair Wages and Salaries Commission and PUTAG. And that is why I find it very difficult putting certain things out there in the media.
Exactly.
Your understanding helped us to come this far in all our discussions. And we've come very, very, very far in our discussions. And I believe that as a commission, we've done tremendously tremendously to improve the working conditions of the polytechnic lecturers. But it's just unfortunate that they are disagreeing with us where we've gotten to. And I believe that we'll continue discussing this issue and we'll see how we can resolve it.
How do you react to the situation where they say they want the polytechnic lecturers want to be put on the same qualification with their counterparts in the university?
You know, that is a... It can be done when it comes to, say, the grading structure or any other thing. When it comes to a market premium, you know, the market premium is dependent on a certain scale. And therefore, when it comes to market premium, it is difficult to say that if I'm giving this person X amount of money, percentage as market premium, I have to apply the same thing. These are the discussions that are going on. Polytechnic is not a university. University is not a polytechnic. And all we as a commission care is that we have been able to give conditions of service to either the university or the polytechnic to attract people to work in those environments. For us, that's the discussion. We are not interested in any comparison between the polytechnic and the university. The key thing is that give each one of them a condition of service that will be able to attract people to work in that environment, because the tertiary institutions produce the professionals and the high caliber of people that we need for the development of this country. And that's exactly what we are doing. If one disagrees because he thinks that he's not been given what somebody else has been given, that's a different thing altogether. And I believe that all these things can be discussed.
Well, they are threatening to go on strike next Tuesday if nothing is done to address their problems. How is the commission dealing with this?
Well, I'll be surprised if they go on strike. And I've been very quiet and patient with Putak, as they've also been patient with us. And I believe that, as Mr. Akwes online, if Putak decides to go on strike and they go on strike on Tuesday, they will compel Federation and Science Commission to put everything in the media, in the public domain. And I've been very, very reluctant because I don't discuss salaries in the media, and I'm praying that they don't do that. They don't force us to do that. We've been very, very patient. They've also been very patient with us. But we all know what we want to achieve so far as the polytechnic institutions are concerned. And I'm praying that they don't do anything that will compare for it, because for anybody to think that Fair Wages has reneged on its responsibilities and is doing anything to the contrary, then it means that the commission will have no choice than to come to the public and tell the public exactly what the situation is. And I've refrained from discussing that because I've had very good working relationship with Putak, and I don't want to destroy that relationship.
All right, let's go back to Mr. Ayakwa. So what are your comments?
It's important that I clarify something. It's good that you actually did clarify. We are not on strike. We are threatening to go on strike. The strike actions you're talking about is not sensitive. It has not been approved.
But Ms. Ayakwa,
the group that is going on strike.
Ms. Ayakwa,
standing there.
Ms. Ayakwa, we know that some in Kumasi Polytechnic, they are also on strike, and Takoradi too.
I'm aware, and it is not individual polytechnic that declare strike. Strike is declared by Congress. Congress declares strike, and then it is communicated to the media, and that's how we've been doing all this while. It's important to know that whereas I may not speak against any polytechnic agitating on their desire for remunerations, I think that should be done within a particular framework, a legal framework, and that's what we are doing. We're waiting to National Labour Commission to intervene and bring all of us, the stakeholders, together for us to begin to dialogue and see how best we can move forward. I have worked with the Fair Wage Salaries Commission, with my executives. We have done so much to help polytechnics too, and for that matter, Madagana. We've been patient since 2010, as I indicated. Now, the issue is here that, according to a point where the mandate given to the fair wages has been exhausted, we are saying that the government should give fair wages some sort of a fresh mandate for them to come and meet with us again. the tension is it's really heightening, and it's worrying me. Personally, I feel that if we want to talk about issue of market premium, the concept should be on the focus of the government. And that is why we are appealing to government to do that. Through the National Labour Commission, we are using that medium to call on the stakeholders to really look at it again. And that's what we are trying to do. It's important.
You said that you are threatening to go on strike next Tuesday. But Takoradi Polytechnic and Kumasi are on strike. So is the strike illegal?
What I would say is the legal framework for going, or according to labor laws, you give National Labor Commission 7 days, 7 days clear notice for them to organize themselves and try to find a solution to the problem. Now, whilst you've given them that notification, within the period of the notification, you cannot go on strike. If that is understood, then I'm saying that strike action that they have, we do not concur. We don't agree with that strike action. Whether it is legal or it is illegal, it is not my case.
All right.
But then we do not accept that.
All right. Many thanks, Anthony. Thank Ayaka is the national president of PUTAC. Mr. Smith-Graham.
Yes, please.
So would you want to appeal to the polytechnic lecturers to exercise patience for their grievances to be dealt with?
Well, I have done that, and I've told all of them that it is important that we've come very, very far in making sure that we resolve these issues. And I believe that is not the time, and I know that deep within them, they know that this situation, what the either Takoradi or Kumasi or whatever are doing, not right, and I'm appealing to them to stop, because I don't think that we need to discuss these things in the air, and they know what will happen if we all decide to go out there and decide to discuss these issues in the media. My appeal to them is for them to be patient, and I believe that these issues, whatever it is, will have to be resolved, and we'll resolve these issues.
So as far as their migration onto the single spine is concerned, what is the way forward?
We are ready to migrate them today. And on Tuesday, I ask them, do you want Fair Wage and Salaries Commission to migrate you immediately? Because we are ready to migrate you. They said no, we should wait. So I'm waiting to get a signal from them that we should migrate them, and we are ready to migrate them.
All right, many thanks for joining us. That was George Smith-Graham, the Chief Executive Officer of the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission. Versus behind the news, and these are some of your text messages. Why is Parkway Sindum wasting his time? Ghanaians don't want stomach politicians. That's from AU Farouk Tamale. And all the political parties from 1992 to date have failed to deliver, so let's give the PPP the chance. Who knows? From Kande Michael Paga. Now, the NDC, NPP and PNC have made public their flag bearers, and it is hoped that the other parties will be picking theirs soon. The PNC is the third party which elected its leader about 3 weeks ago, and the lot fell on Hassan Ayariga. What has the PNC flag bearer been doing since his election? He is with us in the studio tonight to tell us more on the PNC's agenda to capture the seat of government in the December elections. Welcome to Behind the News, and congratulations on being the first flag bearer in 2012 polls to appear on this program.
Thank you very much.
How ready are you for the battle as we inch closer to the December elections?
Very ready. Battle is on. People have already started campaigning. The MPP started way back in 2010, 2011, and till today they are campaigning. The NDC is already the incumbent, so they have the grounds for themselves. But the PNC has just elected a very young, dynamic leader, and we have also started. We want to start our thank you tour. I wanted to start it this week, but I have some few challenges that I'm working on. Probably by next week, we'll start with a thank you tour and get involved tour. So we are almost getting getting started.
Is being young, the younger candidates among the NDC and NPP, that your advantage?
The youngest candidate ever. I think I'm the first presidential candidate at 40. So it's the beginning of the era of the youth. And that is a symbol that young politicians will be emerging very soon with the inspiration of Hassan Ayerga.
Our listeners would like to know more about you. So who is Hassan Ayerga?
Just the one sitting right in front of you. Yes, Hassan Ayerga is a young man, an entrepreneur, who has worked over the years in Africa and Ghana and Europe as well. Being a businessman, trying to bring what business can do for the people than what other professions can do. Professions that we have not seen any performance through those titles. So this time the people of Ghana should see what the new person as an entrepreneur can do with the resources that we have in this country to transform it to benefit the ordinary Ghanaian.
Are you in any way related to Mahama Ayerga of the NDC and Deputy Minister of Education?
Yes, Mahama Ayerga is my younger brother.
He's your younger brother?
Yes.
And one would have loved to know that since he's your younger brother, we've moved to the side of...
No, how can a senior brother move to a younger one? I think it's the other way reverse. But anyways, democracy. People have the right to join any other political party you deserve or you want. If Mahama has decided to be with the NDC, that's fine. That is why we are practicing democracy. And I believe that he has the right and everybody has the right to join the party of his favorite.
Now let's delve more deeper into the party. You know, the PNC went through a number of legal battles before its Congress. How is the party working to bring on board all aggrieved members before the December elections?
We don't have so much problems with the members, but the issue is that it was just two particular people that had issues concerning the old leadership. And I know that you know that after the election, those issues have stopped. They are now confident with the new leadership. So for that matter, I think those issues are automatically resolved or cancel its situation or solve the problems. So for that matter, those battles are over, and we are praying hard to continue to move forward and convince for more people into the party. Because as you know, this is a year of election. As much as we all want to win, we also want to have a peaceful election where we go to polls and come out with a winner. But my appeal is that Ghanaians should all know that all the political parties will always come and go. But the one thing that will never go away is Ghana. It will always remain Ghana. So as we prepare to go to elections 2012, we should put behind our minds that the only thing we have in this country is that peaceful Ghana. And if we make any mistakes to make violence, it will create a lot of confusion. So my prayer and my appeal to Ghanaians is let your voting power be the decision and not your violence act be a decision.
Talking about maintaining peace in the country, how do we win ourselves from politics of insults nowadays on the air?
I don't know whether you believe in the leadership by examples. When people say leadership by examples, we have over the years seen the leadership of the two political parties, the NPP and the NDC. Today, any foreigner out there can describe them as being violent, can describe them as being practicing politics of insult. But the point is that as they go to studios, radio stations, television stations, and sit and talk, they should always put in their mind or behind their mind that school kids are listening to them. Their own children are listening to them. The public, the media, the foreigners, a whole lot of people are listening. This is a digital world. And in running or practicing politics, you have to be very careful the kind of language you communicate around. because what we say today might be used against you tomorrow. So I will appeal that the NDC and the APP should demonstrate some kind of decency in their political talks or language, so that whatever we are doing, the young ones in the system will take it by example. But when we go and then we ridicule, for instance, I don't know whether you watch the State of the Nation address. I was very, very unhappy that day. I saw what happened to the Professor Mills. I saw what happened to our president. He might be challenging me, or I might be challenging him, but I cannot challenge him person when he's sitting in that stool. I cannot insult him, because that is the stool that we all respect, the presidency. Whether you are NDC or NPP or PNC or CPP, once the person becomes the president of the day, it is mandatory, whether you like it or not, to accord him the due respect, not for him per se, but for the position in which he's occupied. He is the father of this country, whether we like it or not. So far as Ghanaians have given him the mandate, so we should be humble enough to respect our president. I don't know whether you saw what happened. It was bad. How can a whole minority ridicule and show a whole president a red card? This doesn't show some kind of decency in politics. What are the kids? It has marked history in our life. There were diplomats in there. The whole country, the whole world were watching. Now, how do we say that our parliamentarians, that the people we have sent them to go and represent us, have gone to conduct themselves against a whole president of a nation? I am not for the NPP, neither am I for the NDC, but I'm for justice. I think that a young politician like me should not encourage such things like an old politician like they are.
Talking about parliamentarians, what strategies are you putting in place to win more seats for your party?
We have given our party parliamentarians a date to finish filing and doing their primaries until 31st of March, end of the March. All the parliamentarians would have finished with their elections, and then when they are done with the elections, I will invite all the parliamentarians to a special meeting where we are going to talk on political talks. Very important. That is the first thing I want to educate my parliamentarians, political talks, because I do not want to see any of my parliamentarians go on air and practice or do that politics of insult. We have rules governing and guiding our parliamentarians. So these are issues we are going to tackle, and we are also going to find out from them their difficulties in which they are facing in their constituencies. Every constituency has a different problem or issues. So we will get their reports, and then we'll see how best we can help them. You know, in every kind of election, the leader sometimes is the most important person in that kind of, in the party. Today, the personality of a leader counts much in politics. Some people will say, because of this person, I want to vote Hassan Ayaga because he's young. I want to vote Hassan Ayaga because he's handsome. I want to vote Hassan Ayaga because he's intelligent. I want to vote Hassan Ayaga because he's energetic. So people vote based on different reasons. And sometimes the performance of somebody might just contribute a little bit more than some other issues that people might vote for. So in issues like this, we will educate our parliamentarians, we will show them the way, and we will set the first example of decency in campaigning.
Some critics say you are too young and inexperienced to make any change in the fortunes of PNC come December.
Methuselah's age has nothing to do with Solomon's wisdom. Do you understand me?
So what experience do you bring on board the TNC to move it forward?
40 years, it's not 40 days. I've been a businessman since I was 16, and I've had so much experience. That's what I'm telling you, that Methuselah's age has nothing to do with Solomon's wisdom. We need people with wisdom. We need people with common sense, not people with titles. What have the people who have been there for so long brought to Ghanaians? those who call themselves so much so experienced politicians, where have they taken the country to? Where are we today, 54 years down the lane, and we cannot even get common water to drink? We can't even get constant supply of electricity, adequate supply of water. And you sit down and somebody tells me that I'm inexperienced. Inexperience is not in my books.
What are we going to see in the PNC manifesto, and when will it be outdoored?
I will, from now onwards, after I'm back from the tour, every 2 weeks I will release a manifesto about a program on each of my manifesto. So people should be expecting me after the tour. I will give the press and the media the opportunity to come and listen to me and my manifesto.
What hope are you giving to the teeming youth out there?
This is the future, and this future is for them. You vote Hassan Ayaga, you vote yourself. This is the young and the digital generation. It is a generation of moving from analog to digital, where young people will be inspired, where young people will be given the opportunities to bring out their potentials, where we will have a lot of job creation for the youth. It's just like operation jobs for the youth. That is what I'm bringing on board. Let me tell you something. In this country, we have so many opportunities that we can create jobs for the people, but we have ignored them, or practically we do not know. I don't know which one is it. Even sport. Today I spoke about sport. And sport can give a lot of job opportunities to our people. But we have ignored sport and taken sport as just soccer alone. And that is it. So we go to tournaments, and when we lose a match, then we come home and all of us are frustrated and become demoralized. But I tell you, sport can create a lot of opportunities and jobs for our people in this country. We have so many things that one can classify under sport. We have the cycling, we have Formula One, we have volleyball, we have hockey, we have tennis ball, we have long tennis, we have basketball. Do we look at this side of creating jobs? For instance, if we're having in every region a team, a basketball team, competitive basketball team, and we're going to build stadia to take into consideration these teams. Do you know how much jobs we're creating? Do you know how many people or dropouts that are there that do not have jobs, that will get jobs? Do you know the kind of income that Ghana will get from such? We just lack the potentials to build in the nation. We need a change. We need a real change in this country.
Just hold the line and let's go over to Dr. Michael Pesa-White of the University of Ghana. Thank you for your time, Dr. Pesa-White. What is your assessment of the PNC in this year's polls?
Well, I think it is it's too early to kind of make any conclusive assessments for now. But I think it is also equally good that the PNC is assessing itself. Of course, let me use the opportunity to congratulate the presidential candidates in your videos. I think that there is a lot more that needs to be done. The problem that the PNC, the CPP, the GCPP, and perhaps coming going forward, the PPP face in this country is that the institutional configuration of our electoral system more or less has marginalized the possibility for the emergence of strong third parties. The reason for this is that almost in all winner-takes-all electoral systems, or the first-past-the-post electoral systems, what ended up happening is that psychologically or from the cognitive point of view, voters are programmed to think in terms of two parties. It is either you vote for one of the major ones, or your vote goes, or your vote becomes worthless, or your vote is not counted because the person you vote for doesn't win, doesn't really make any difference or impact. So one of the things that they need to, the PNC and the CPP and all the other political parties needs to do going forward will be to call for a complete reconfiguration of the system. Whatever the solution exactly will be, I don't know, but I think that it is something that they need to work on. Then going forward, I think that there is also a big policy vacuum that the PNC, the CPP, and all the other minor political parties can take advantage of. large, by and large, the two dominant political parties have more or less moved closer to each other. And I think that one of the things that will help the PNC going forward is not to just talk about what can be done, but how it can be done. I heard the presidential candidate in your studios talking about job creation. I think that he will probably put himself ahead of all the other candidates if he starts talking about how that can be done and where resources can come from to address those specific challenges. If that is not done, he basically will join the chorus of the existing presidential candidates who keep talking about, we will do this, but not necessarily talking about how they can do it. So I think how they can do it is important, because it is in how they can do it that people can get convinced that they indeed have a solution to the problems that confront us as a nation.
Okay, just hold it. So how do you react to this comment?
Oh, this is a special kind of issue. Let me also say good evening to Doug. And we have so many ways of creating jobs, just like I explained earlier on about sport. You see, with sports, you can create a lot of jobs right from school, right from the time the drops are left. You know, one thing about this country is that people do not want to do much work without taking time. People want to get results immediately they do something. For instance, let's take agriculture for example. We can start the irrigation system where by farming throughout the year, the 12 calendar months, we produce a lot of food, we produce a lot of juice, we produce a lot of foodstuff. So in production, we are able to farm, let's say, rice, for instance, where over the whole year, the whole 12 months, people are engaged into irrigation system and farming. In doing so, you are creating more jobs for the youth and for the farmers and giving them the opportunity to be able to sell their produce or products. Now, that is one aspect. Now, the other aspect is that if we are able to put up companies to juice all these fruits that we have. The last time I traveled to Tichuma, when I was coming, I bought 3 cities mango and the whole pickup was full of mango. And I asked myself, is it that government does not see that there is something that calls factory that can juice this mango to become juice so that we can export, even if we cannot consume all here and people are tired of mango? What about export? What about exporting this juice? But you go to the supermarket like Kuala and other things, and you see that we have importing mango juice from Turkey. When you have all these things in your farms. So the most important thing is how to get young people to put them into best use and use these mineral resources and natural resources that we have into better use by creating jobs.
Now, back to you, Doc. What do you suggest the minority parties do to become a formidable force in the December elections?
Well, essentially, almost all the minority parties that we have in this country undoubtedly make claims to the heritage of Osagyefo Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, which is good. The problem, however, is that they are heavily divided on a number of issues that I think are very, very petty. If you take things like name, things like emblem, things like leadership and all those things, I think that the bigger interests of the country and the dreams of the vision and aspirations of Osagyefo Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, to which they all aspire, are far greater and bigger than the little things that divide them. And so, just like how Kwame Nkrumah himself demonstrated in 1960 when he actually argued that Ghana was willing to submit its sovereignty to continental government, I think each of these individual political parties should at least do an undertaking or should make a commitment to each other. Excuse me, make an undertaking to each other that they can and they will be willing to submit to let's say an agreement that emerges from whatever committee they put in place to resolve their differences and then build a formidable front. But even if that is done, we still need to keep in mind that there are elements of our democratic institutional design that really constrain them. There has always been the argument, and which I subscribe to, that a chunk of people who believe in the social democratic or socialism are in the current NDC. And so one way to navigate that is to tackle it from the electoral point of view and start arguing for the need for every vote to count. And there are several ways of designing an electoral system and making sure that every vote counts. You do not necessarily have to go the proportional representation way. Plus, the fact that this country is highly multi-ethnic, I think that the CPP could also carve a niche for itself if it calls for a system that allows people from across board to be fairly represented at the centers of decision-making, both at the regional assemblies, the district assemblies, the local levels, and whatever the case may be.
All right.
So I think that one of the key things going forward for these smaller parties is to clearly distinguish themselves from the dominant parties by focusing on the issues like healthcare, education, social security, housing, sanitation, environment. And they should speak to these issues in terms of this is what we want to do, this is how we intend to do it, and this is our overall goal in doing this thing. I think Ghanaians are discerning enough. And you know what? Once you continue to repeat this over and over and over again, we have seen parties remain in opposition for a very, very long period of time, and all of a sudden they emerge to become a third force or a second force or a first force. It happened in Canada recently where the NDP, which nobody gave a chance to in 20 years ago, all of a sudden is now the official opposition. We saw in UK the Lib Dems becoming kingmakers. So it is possible that they can move closer, but there are a series of things that they need to tackle from outside and inside of government.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Michael Pesa-White. Now, Mr. Ayariga,
yeah.
Are we likely to see a PNC-CPP merger?
Somehow I would say yes, and the issue is that the PNC just came out from our Congress, and the CPP are preparing to go to their Congress. So we will wait until when they have gone to Congress and have elected their flag bearer. In that matter, we can then discuss issues of mergers. But before our Congress, we had a letter from the CPP asking for unity talks and requesting for the two political parties to have some kind of merger talks. So we told them that, fine, we'll be getting back to them. But I believe now we are waiting for them to clean their house first.
And how soon are we going to know your running mate?
Running mate? My running mate is going to be a Ghanaian. Don't worry about that. He'll be definitely, he or she is going to be a Ghanaian.
Is the person likely to be a female?
I don't know. I'm still thinking. Why do you want to be my running mate?
So what would you say is your biggest challenge after getting the nod to lead the PNC in the December polls?
Just like Doug explained, you see, most of the time, the two major political parties are seen as they're just the party that can rule this country. So for that matter, when you come out and you're talking, even some people always said, oh, these two political parties have dominated so much that do you think you can become the government of the day? And I always tell them, look, yes, the government of the day does not need every political party to survive. Most of the political parties will have to change their ways, and in that form, some political parties will take their members. And that is what I've been saying, that in Ghana today, we need a real change. A real change does not mean in 2008 where we deserted an MPP and then went in for NDC. So after 4 years, then we say, okay, since we left the MPP, now we want to go back and bring the MPP because probably the NDC didn't perform. That is not a change. The real change we are talking about is changing from those two political parties and getting in a third force from all these minor parties that people call them small parties. I believe that once you give the mandate to other political parties and they are not able to perform, you still have that mandate to change them and make a real change in bringing in a third party, which is not the NDC, neither the NPP. So that was what we need. We need a real change. So the challenges confronting us right now is just about putting up our party offices, making the structures in place, and getting all the necessary vehicles and then motorcycles to go to the villages and campaign. Because right now, Ghanaians are fed up with the two political parties because they have seen their deliverance, what they have delivered to Ghanaians. So they can judge from that point of view. But with us, they cannot judge because we have never been in power. So we will tell them what we can do, and then definitely when they listen to how we are going to do it, they will surely give us the mandate.
Will you be prepared to be a running mate to a PNC-CPP alliance?
No, I never spoke about PNC-CPP alliance or running mate. Let's leave it there. When we get to there, we'll see what is going to
then
happen.
Then briefly, your vision.
The vision is a whole lot of things. just like I was talking about, when we pick education, the PNC vision for education is going to be different from most of these political parties that they have. Now, you realize that everybody is talking about education, education. And all that we all understand about education is just educating the labor force, the people, getting them certificates, going to class one, getting to high at secondary school, you go to JSS, you come to senior high school, then you graduate, and then you have a certificate, and then you are educated. Now, this is not the kind of education PNC is bringing on board. PNC is not just going to educate people to get certificates or to be a graduate, but rather we are going to make them more creativity. They should be more innovative and be able to, so that we can build an industrialized nation rather than building mass labor in the system, and then they all have to queue to get jobs. So where is the job coming from? They have to create the jobs. We will educate them to create jobs. And that's what we do intend to do in our manifesto, making them more creative than rather they being employed.
All right. Many thanks for joining us in our studios tonight.
Thank you too.
That was Hassan Ayariga, the PNC flag bearer for the 2012 elections. Yesterday, the executive committee of the DFA met with the coach Goran Stevanovic to discuss the technical report of the team after the 2012 Africa Cup of Nations. The FA, after a media encounter, announced that the fate of the coach will be decided within 2 weeks. However, there are reports that the coach has been sacked. So, is coach Goran Stevanovic sacked? To answer this question is the communications director of the GFA, Ibrahim Sani Dara. Good evening and many thanks for joining us. So, is coach Goran Stevanovic sacked?
Well, good evening to your listeners and good evening to you too. Goran Stevanovic is not sacked as a coach of the Black Stars. As you stated in your cue into this interview, we stated yesterday during the press conference that we will announce the fate of the coach in 2 weeks' time. So we don't know where this news is emanating from. Goran Stevanovic is leading the Black Stars to the United States on Sunday night, where we'll face Chile in a friendly on Wednesday. So we think that those reports are untrue and it should be disregarded.
So as we speak, the coach has not been sacked and his fate will be decided after 2 weeks' time.
Absolutely. The coach is still in charge of the Black Stars. He'll be naming his squad for the tournament for the friendly against Chile on Wednesday, and he's still in the country.
All right. Many thanks for joining us. That was the communications director of the GFA, Sani Dara. And these are some of your text messages. The polytechnic teachers should stop comparing themselves to university teachers. They saw the universities and decided to teach other polytechnics. This is from Raymond Tema. And the Ghana Health Service should make an intensive education on ways of preventing the CSM, because we do not want to witness another CSM disaster in northern Ghana. And that's from Baba Musa UDS. It's unfortunate that people die as a result of preventable diseases such as CSM. Abuchi Adidome, no sign of migration for non-formal division. Are we also part of the single spine at all? The NPP is not mature to win election in Ghana. They should give us a break. Aleke Kumasi. And that's how we wrap up for tonight's edition of Behind the News. Our producers have been Bright Agama, Christopher Esiedu, and Phyllis Kofi. Taiko Ayi has been our sound engineer. My name is Agatha Samoa, and good evening to you all.